Amen. Once again, we thank God for choirs.
Amen.
Lifting up Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
At the name of Jesus.
At the name of Jesus. And we prepare our hearts to receive God's word. On a warm, warm summer day. We're going to continue. Amen. We're going to continue in our study of the parables. And we're going to look at the book of Luke today, the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 13. As you look forward, I just want to say that these parables are challenging, not only to prepare, but to preach. And I certainly believe they're challenging to hear, because they put you on one side or the other.
Amen.
And this is how Jesus preached. And often churches say we preach the word of God, but this is how Jesus preached. This is he preached in parables. Preachers say he preached the word of God, and preaching the parables ought to be a staple in his preaching arsenal. And it is an arsenal. It fires great shots. And Jesus rarely misses. I should even say rarely. He never misses. He hit me quite a few times this week. Luke chapter 13. Let's look at verses 22 through 30. A wonderful parable. Luke 13, 22 through chapter, verse 30. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he answered, and he said unto them, try to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and have shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you for a place to preach the word.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for the presence of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for all those that are here today, Father God. Father God, keep them alert and attentive. Father God, these parables aren't to be taken lightly. Father God, I ask that you would just bless all those that hear. Let it be a warning to all of us that we also should strive to enter in the straight gate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That's a great question. That's a great, great, great question. Verse 23. Jesus preaching and teaching, and someone said to Jesus, are there few that will be saved? That's a good question.
Amen.
That's a good question. All Jesus' parables, we studied the kingdom parables, and the kingdom parables, I mean, we start the parables out, the kingdom of heaven is like.
Yes.
Okay. And we talked about the vineyard. We talked about the laborers going out. We talked about the prodigal, not the prodigal son, but we talked about the sower and the seed. The kingdom is like a man who goes out to sow. The kingdom is like
a treasure.
The kingdom is like a pearl. And these are warning us. They're warning us. When you see the treasure, when you find the treasure, what do you do with the junk that you have? When you find that great pearl, what do you do with all them other little trinkets and bling that you have? When you got the great pearl.
Yes.
When you have something great, something wonderful, the looking is over.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
The song says, when a man finds the woman of his dreams, the searching is over.
Yes.
Amen.
They're not looking any further. Find my dream.
Yes.
There's no need to look any further. Find my treasure.
Yes.
And we find Jesus in this parable, and it's a serious parable. And when I started sitting there and I'm thinking about it, this is some serious stuff. And a lot of times you don't realize how serious it is until God says, I want you to preach these parables. I want you to preach this. And in verse 22, we're going to go down the text. We see that this great question, this great question that is a question for all the ages. I believe Hebrews in chapter 12 says that Jesus Christ is what? The same. Yesterday. This question is still being asked. And it's amazing that much of today's modern contemporary church put so much emphasis on reaching out to people and trying to get lost souls, unsaved people, to accept a holy God.
Uh-huh.
When so little preaching is about a holy God accepting a sinful people. We have it backwards. We're trying to downplay the holiness of God so that sinful people will you just accept Jesus. But when you study God's word, very little is said about that. Much of God's preaching and Jesus preaching is a holy God accepting a sinner.
Yes.
How are you going to get in? The parable of the souls is that same parable. One out of four make it. The ten virgins. How many made it? Five. You have to be prepared to meet Jesus.
Yes.
And that's what Jesus is saying here. You have to be prepared to meet him. And it says he went through the cities and the villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Here's a man, a desperate man.
Yes, sir.
Here's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ going into the city. And the city represents, in this sentence here, verse here, the rich folks. Folks that had resources. He went through the cities preaching the gospel message to those that had wealth. And then it says, in the villages, that's where the squatters and the poor folks stayed. Okay, we went through it. He went in Luke chapter 19, I believe, he went through a village and there was 10 lepers. He went to a leper colony and preached the gospel to them. He went through Samaria and preached the gospel to a bunch of half-breeds that all the other people had disregarded. He went into the village and that's where he found a colt that had never been ridden, in the villages. So he was teaching in the villages and in the cities. He was teaching to the has-beens and the has-nots. He was preaching and he was journeying toward Jerusalem.
Yes.
Now, Wednesday night we studied that word called sojourning. And a sojourner is a person whose lost and don't know where he's going. But Jesus was journeying. Okay? He knew where he was going. He was heading to the cross and he had came for that very purpose.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
In Luke chapter 9:51, it said, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face where? Toward Jerusalem. And I say this to all believers. If you're following Christ, you're heading to Jerusalem.
Amen.
You're heading to the cross. And he was heading to the cross. He was journeying. And while he was journeying and teaching, that's what it says. He was teaching and journeying from city to city.
Uh-huh.
And said one unto him. In verse 23, that's a fascinating question. That's a good question. In verse 23, it says, and one said unto him. How about that?
Yes.
And he called him Lord. Now, there's commentaries just differ on this all around. But he called him Lord. Jehovah, Master, God, all knowing. He called him Lord. He went to the right place for this question. And this question was on the minds of everybody that was listening. It ought to be on the minds of us in here. Because, see, we living in a world now where everybody going to heaven. I mean, hell has a out of business sign on it. And it's like riding up Market Street or riding up Belmont and you see businesses out of business. Out of business. Grass all grown up around the gates of hell. Windows all knocked out. Closed. That's not biblical.
Amen.
Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people.
Amen.
And if you're here today, you have time to prepare.
Yes, sir.
It is not too late. God is still good. He has not yet shut the door.
Amen.
Watch this. And then he said, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Why would he ask you that question? That would bother me. Because Jesus was preaching the gospel. And if you go back deeper into chapter 13, he preached to a woman who was bound up for 18 years. He loosed her. Okay? And the people struggle with that. They struggled with him loosing this woman.
Yes.
Okay? And then he went on through preaching and healing and teaching. And then he came to this village or this city. And one asked him, are there few that be saved? I believe that question might have risen from the fact that, you know what? Nobody listening to that no more. Nobody paying attention to you. Look at you know, your followers dropped off. You got the 12. Most of your folks is going away. Demands are too high.
All right.
I have too much going on to be following you. That's a question for the ages.
And Jesus said unto them, a warning message. A warning message. He said, strive to enter in the straight gate. Now, when we talk about a straight gate, we talk about a narrow gate. Some translations say a narrow door. Now, you can get more through that door than the two on the left and right. Okay? And I believe what Jesus is saying is you're going to have to whittle down some stuff. You're going to have to unload some stuff. You're not bringing all that junk to heaven. We talk about the rich young ruler a whole lot. Okay? Rich young ruler, no moss. I'm keeping my stuff. And many of us say the same thing. I'm keeping my stuff. Heaven ain't worth my stuff. Plus, I don't believe in it. And I come to church every Sunday. And I've said it over and over. We've done studies on it. And many folks that come to church every Sunday, many pastors preaching, don't believe in Jesus Christ. Don't believe in the resurrection. Don't believe in Him being born of a virgin. Don't believe in Him dying on the cross. And they're preaching every Sunday. Jesus is giving a warning. Now, we have warnings all the time.
Amen.
Warnings is a part of our life. For the youngest kids in here, you're warning them all the time. The parents is warning them all the time. Don't touch this. Look both ways before you cross the street. Okay? And there's different kind of warnings.
Amen.
The type of warnings you get from going to Mill Creek Park, walking through Mill Creek Park, walking through on the trail, it'll be a different warning than if you're walking through the African jungle. You going through Mill Creek Park, you worry, oh, there's poison ivy. Little poison oak. You might have a wayward kid or a stranger may approach you. But going through the jungle is a whole different type of warning. And you can be on the highway and there's warnings all over. Slippery when wet. Dangerous curve. Deer crossing. Those are just warnings. Those are just warnings. Okay?
Amen.
Yesterday we came out here to the church and there was four police cars over at the little convenient mark. Lights are flashing. And nobody going in the store. Well, nobody in the parking lot, nobody going in the store. Because the lights represented a warning that there was something going on there and you need to just keep on going and mind your business. Warnings. God's word is full of it. Here's a warning here. He says, strive to enter in the straight gate. What's that word strive mean? What's it mean? That word strive comes from the Greek word agonizo. We get our English word agonize. It means to struggle with something, to agonize with it. And we don't like that. Oh, you listen to a lot of sermons and preaching today is almost like being on the set of Oprah. And it's all about my emotions and my feelings and my felt needs and make me feel good, make me happy.
Amen.
This is difficult. I'm looking forward to the day, and I know you guys are probably too, where I could preach some happy, happy sermons. Happy sermons. The whole Bible is a book of warnings.
Amen.
Look what Paul says in Acts 20:31. I'm just going to read it because I have it wrote down here. He said, therefore, watch and remember. Okay? That by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you every night and day with tears.
Yes.
When last time you seen a pastor crying because of the condition of our world? Paul was in tears because of what he's saying. Even in Colossians 1:28, this is interesting, and I think this probably fits the choir. In Colossians 1:28, then I'm going to Colossians 3:16. Well, look at what Colossians 1:28 says. It is talking about warning again, Paul, whom we preach. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. You know what? You have to be perfect in Jesus Christ to get to heaven.
Amen.
And that word perfect don't mean you got to be perfect while you walk around here. Your perfection is not about you. Your perfection is about Jesus and what He has done. Not about what you do or what you think or what you can handle. It's about what Christ has done. There's where your perfection lies. And we ought to preach it. And we ought to sing it. We ought to sing it. Look at Colossians 3:16. He said, let the word of God dwell in you how? Richly in all wisdom. Now he's talking to the choir. When you're singing, he said, you ought to be teaching and admonishing one another. That word admonishing is another word for warning, folks. Mm-hmm. The singing ought to be a warning message.
Yes.
Amen.
See, admonishing one another in what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. It's a warning message.
Yes.
We ought to sing a warning message. And if we were to go into Joshua chapter 6, we would see Joshua when he was planning on going to Jericho and surrounding that city. Who went first? Oh, listen what it says. And it came to pass, Joshua 6 and 8, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing what? Seven trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew with their trumpets. The ark of the covenant of the Lord followed. The musicians was out front and they wasn't sending out a pleasant message. They was letting Jericho know that these walls is coming down. These walls is coming down, and we ought to be not only preaching these walls down, we ought to be singing these walls down. We ought not be putting together workshops trying to get young folks to come to church and be happy and be able to sing what they think.
Amen.
They don't know the Lord, they ought not be singing.
Amen.
Singing in the church on Sunday and singing cussing music on the way home from church. I don't understand it. But the Word of God is clear. You can't get salt water and fresh water out of the same tap.
Amen.
I don't want to hear it.
All right.
I don't want to hear little Bow Wow singing Amazing Grace.
Amen.
I don't want to hear Chris Brown singing anything about God. Oh, y'all, I'm just crazy.
Amen.
That's why young people ain't coming to your church because they can't do nothing. Well, they ought not be able to do nothing.
Amen.
Grown folks ought to do nothing either if you ain't living right. Get your butt down and hear the word of God.
Amen.
Young and old.
Tell them about the word.
Amen.
Fornicating and singing. Ushering and counting money and shouldn't even be sweeping the hallways of God's house.
Amen.
Oh, I don't want to know. I know. God asked through the church. That's a great question.
Amen.
Are there few that be saved?
Amen.
Are you ready to strive? Let me show you one more scripture. I know that. I could just go on and on.
Right on, then.
On and on.
Okay.
Look at Paul.
Come on.
See, warning and striving and agonizing. This is work. And Paul knew it. And Paul was one of the people in Thessalonica in chapter 3 says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Do you think you can live for God in a godless world and be happy? That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. The man of God, the woman of God that's living for God, you have an appointment with afflictions.
Amen.
Oh, we don't want that appointment.
Amen.
We'd rather be undercover, secret agent Christians. And that's why the word of God isn't getting out.
Amen.
We got too many secret agent Christians. Nobody even know. Nobody even know. They know you're still a fan.
Come on.
They know you're a Browns fan. Well, they know you're a Cowboy fan. You got your Cowboy jacket, your Cowboy boots, your Cowboy hats. You got your Troy Aikman cup. But do anybody know you're a Christian?
Amen.
Do anybody know that God is Lord of your life? Oh.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody know you're a Christian? Are you ready for that great fight that Paul told Timothy? He said, Timothy, I charge you in the name of God to fight the good fight of faith. You got to fight for your faith. You got to fight for the right to be called a man of God, and you got to fight your way into heaven, and you got to fight your way into God's presence, and He gives you the power to do it.
There you go.
Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, what you're able to save. When you get saved, you get power. You get power. If you tell me you're saved, you're like, I don't have no power. Well, sometimes you will buy a toy from Walmart and you get home and say, man, this thing ain't got no batteries. See, some of us Christians are like that. We got all the outward work, but we don't got no batteries.
Right.
Well, we just unplugged. Some of us just unplugged. You turn that light on all you want. I say, what's wrong with the light? Cindy, it ain't plugged in. You got to plug in. You got to be plugged in.
Yeah.
Amen.
Are you ready to strive?
Yes.
Are you ready to strive? He asks a great question. I know this could be a little laborious, but it has to be. It has to be preached.
Amen.
It has to be preached.
Amen.
And I know it's warm. I'm the warmest one in here.
Amen.
I think I got poison ivy around neck and got a collar on. I'm not comfortable up here. I'm hot, but this needs to be preached.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Do you understand what it means to be saved?
Amen.
I've said it over and over and over, and I'm going to say it again today. Salvation is a supernatural act of God whereby a man or a woman becomes a new creation, a new creature. And then Paul backs up in 2 Corinthians 5:17 and says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And then you got to ask yourself that. Look at Ezekiel says it in Ezekiel 36. And I'm flying. Write it down. It says, in Ezekiel 36:25, he said, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and it shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. Oh, we got to get up under that clean water. And he said, in a new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put in you, and I will take away the stony heart. Oh, if you still got a stony heart, you might not have that new heart you need. And I'm not talking about a heart that Northside Hospital give you or the Cleveland Clinic. I'm talking about a heart from the greatest physician of all.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on.
Listen, verse 27. He said, not only will I give you a new heart, take away the stony one. He said, I will put my spirit. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Oh, you're going to have a new walk.
All right.
And not only that, he said, and you shall keep my judgments.
Amen.
You're going to have a new way of thinking. You're going to have a Christ-centered mind. You're going to speak the things of God. You're going to have a new way of talking, a new way of walking. And he says, and do them. And do them. You got the power when you get saved to do some things, some miraculous things.
Amen.
Oh, we don't put God to the test. We only going to do what we can do. We only going to do what we have energy to do or strength to do. We're not looking for God to do something miraculous through us. He says, strive to enter in the straight gate. For many, I say, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Why won't they be able? Why won't they be able? Because God has
come on.
God has spoken to you. God has went through, talked to you. He's preached to you. You heard the message. You rebel. You reject it. And you have not heard what God is saying. God, man still has free will.
Yes.
And God has free will too. And He will turn you over. He will turn you over. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Listen. I'm in Romans 1. Listen. I'm not going to even start at verse 26 and 27. You guys can start there yourself. I'm not even going to go there because I don't want y'all to think I'm homophobic or any of that. I'm going to leave that alone today. It's all there though. But look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge.
Yes.
Knowledge.
Yes.
It's painful. It's painful to be controlled and to be controlled and moved by the Lord Jesus Christ in a godless world. We want to be liked. We want to be accepted. We want to be an in crowd. Oh, you're not going to be an in crowd when you represent Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about representing Him. That's right. That's right. An ambassador. Look at this. Look at this. He says in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. Oh, that's a scary. That verse ought to bother you. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to a mind that cannot hear no more. I don't care what you say. And we're going to get into that. He said, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He's going to turn you over to do what you want to do. And if you're in here doing what you want to do, and you don't care what God thinks about it, you may be turned over already. He said, to do the things which are not convenient. Preface verse 26 and 27. For those things that are not convenient. Well, this is what you're going to be filled with if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness. Full of envy, murder and debate, deceit and malignity. And whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Well, there's some those folks out there inventing some stuff now. Oh, that internet. They didn't invent that internet. That's inventing some stuff now. Disobedience of parents without understanding. Covenant breakers. Covenant breakers. Folks just walk in and out of marriages. And set before God and say, God, I take this woman to be my lawfully wedded wife, for better or for worse,
yes.
Richer or for poor,
yes.
Breast cancers, hysterectomies, weight gain,
yes.
Amputation of ankles and feet and fingers, go blind. This is my wife. I got a covenant with her. That covenant breakers. Without natural affection. Don't care about your kids. Right up and down the street, and 2-3 year old kids running across the Market Street, running across Belmont.
Yeah,
parents don't even care. Implacable. I didn't study this scripture. I don't even tackle that word. I'll tell you about it next week. Unmerciful. See, sometimes God has just put it on your heart to say it. Unmerciful. Who knowing the judgment of God. Now here's the folks, you know the judgment of God. That they which commit such things are worthy of death. You know what God says about certain things, and you what? You do them anyway. See, sin and transgression. We've talked about this. Sin is doing something, it's just missing the mark. You might have did the best you could do, but you sinned. You missed the mark. Transgression means this.
You see a sign that says, no trespassing. No hunting. No fishing. And you know what? You just get your little fishing pole and your tackle box and your shotgun and you just go right on in.
Go right on.
That's transgression.
Yes.
Doing what you know God says is wrong and evil and wicked. And the Word of God says, not this preacher. This is why I preach this Bible. Such things are worthy of death.
Yes.
Not only do the same, but have pleasure in doing them. Now, I look at this, and I say that covenant breaking. And folks just brag. I hear folks brag about their divorce. Oh, I'm having a divorce party. I'm proud of this divorce. And you invite all your friends. You're a covenant breaker. What if God divorced you because you cheated on him? Covenant breakers. Oh, God is good. I know some of y'all say, I wish I'd have heard this 20 years ago. No better, you do better. Some of you will be held accountable because you heard it. You won't be able to say, well, I didn't know. Covenant breaker. This is why it's so serious to me. I'm not doing no last minute marriages. You go to the courthouse. I need to talk to you. I need to spend 6-8 weeks talking to you. You need to, the woman needs to talk to my wife. The husband needs to talk to me.
Come on.
Wives counsel. Yes.
Just marrying everybody. $200 is, you know, pastor, marry anybody. Marry a man and a horse for $200.
Amen.
Strive, people. Strive. We got to work at this. Strive to enter in. Strive to enter in. Sing them songs of warning. Sing it with joy in your heart. And remember this. Because somebody got to say, why is it so important to strive? Because one day the master is going to rise up.
Uh-oh.
One day he's going to rise up. He's going to rise up. Listen, look at verse 25. And when once the master of the house is risen up. Let me tell you something. I was raised in a household like this. When my father locked the door, if you wasn't in, you was out. You weren't coming in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning.
Amen.
When the master of the house locked the door. All that's in is in. You right in. All that's in is in. Look at what Jesus said. This is in red. So this ain't me. This is God speaking. When the master of the house is risen up and have shut to the door. Listen, I can't shut the door.
Amen.
Reverend Jones can't shut the door.
Amen.
None of these deacons can shut the door. We don't have no right to put nobody out of this church.
Amen.
That was words would never come out of my mouth. You need to leave up out of here. You can sit in them pews as long as you want to. But I'm going to preach this Bible.
Yeah.
If you can sit up under it, fine, you're all right.
Yeah.
And I am duty bound.
Yeah, that's right.
To preach the hell out of this church.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, they ain't going to come. You know, they want to hear a happy message. You know, they doing their thing and you offended them. Well, if you didn't see it, I'm going to offend you because I'm getting offended preaching it. I'm offended. Preach them in, preach them out.
Amen.
But none of us going to walk up to you and say, you need to leave.
Amen.
Stay there as long as you want. Stay there as long as you want. I'd love to have a whole left side of church full of homosexuals. Just keep on coming. I'm going to preach this Bible.
Amen.
Whole group of fornicators and adults, I don't care, I'm going to preach this Bible.
Amen.
How else will they know? They have to hear.
Yes, sir.
That's the all. Every must be born again.
Yes, sir.
Oh Lord, do we understand the mission? Do we understand the mission? Look at John 3. We take John 3, 7, 16, but look at John 3, 16 and 17. It is interesting that it's just important that we understand the mission. If you say you ought to understand the mission.
Amen.
Here's the mission. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believe in him
should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the mission. But look what God says in verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world, not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. How's a lost sinner going to be saved if they don't hear the Word of God? They have to hear the Word of God. People say, well, you know, he's been that way all his life, or she's been that way all her life. She just needs to be born again.
Amen.
And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear? Oh, we just want our ears tickled. We want our ears tickled. Oh, tickle me, Elmo. I know it's laborious. But when the master of the house is risen and have shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. You knock all the skin off your elbows, off your knuckles. You know? And what Jesus is saying here, you know where he's going with this? It all starts in Genesis.
Yes, it does.
It all starts in Genesis.
Genesis.
Noah, when he got on that ark with them animals, he didn't shut the door.
He didn't shut the door.
God shut the door. God shut the door. God is shutting the door today. Now, this is out of Genesis. Now, tell me if it don't fit right now. Genesis 6 and 5. And God saw that wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him in his heart. That's 2,000 years old. And the Lord said, and I believe he's speaking today, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them.
Yes, sir.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
How about that? How about that? And 2 Peter 2 says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was the eighth. It was only eight people that got in that boat. Are there few to be saved?
Yes.
Are there few to be saved? Look at verse 7, chapter 7 of Genesis and 16. I'm just going to read it. And they went in. All these animals, all of them went in. And they went in. The rain had started to fall, and folks was outside of the ark. Oh, you got to make sure you're in the ark, folks. Folks outside of the ark. And the rain that came. Never had seen rain before. Now it was raining. And it rained 40 days and 40 nights. But before all that happened, it says, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And look at verse, look at the last part. And the Lord, L-O-R-D, all caps, Jehovah God,
yes,
shut him in. No one getting out. No one getting out until God opened the door.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. If you're saved, you're shut in.
Right.
There ain't no way you're walking away.
Right.
There ain't no way you lose your salvation. There ain't no way you're getting out of this if you're truly saved. But if you want to in and out of the ark, oh, come on.
Amen.
Some of us got an ark. We walking in and out.
Amen.
You can't get out of the ark
no.
of God's safety. The ark represents God's safety. You can't get in and out.
Amen.
We've been studying on Wednesday night. Look what it says in 1 John 2:19. I'm about to wrap this up. I know. Listen. It said they went out from us. Okay? But they were not of us. And folk come in and go. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us.
but they went out that they might be made manifest, that it might be made clear that they were not of us. That's why folks leave the church. That's why folks say they lose their salvation. It's just God's way of saying these folks weren't real from the beginning.
Amen.
They weren't real from the beginning.
Amen.
Let's wrap it up with some hope. Somebody say, is there any hope? Because these folks start to lie and everything, and this starts getting painful. This starts getting painful just to read. Because they outside knocking. They can't get in. They're going to hell and they know and they're not a lion. Now all the lions start. He says, we shall begin to say, verse 26, oh, we have eaten and drunk. I mean, they tell all the communions. You can take all the communions you want. It ain't nothing but a cracker and a little bit of juice.
Yes.
You got the real stuff at home. Okay, you take your cracker, your juice. Oh, listen, we have eaten, we have drunk in thy presence, and we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. We heard the preaching, we did the communion, we did everything. That's what he says. But he says, he should say, I tell you. Now, when Jesus tells you this, there ain't no arbitration. There ain't no plea bargaining.
No.
You either in or you out. There ain't no plea bargaining. There ain't but one deathbed confession in the Bible, and that's the thief on the cross. Now, the only other, you know, we have to remember there was another one. There was another thief. And he said, if you be the Christ, save yourself and me too. Let's get back to ripping and running. Because most folks leave the hospital after they plead with the preacher. Oh, preacher, 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 preacher. Then they get back on their Suzuki motorcycle and speed down the road. Pay attention, folks. This is serious stuff. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, you filthy sinners. That's what he's saying. Here's some hope. Here's some hope. Verse 29. And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and sit down. How about that? In the kingdom of God. Folks are going to be getting saved from everywhere. From the east, from the north, from the west, and from the south. Folks are going to be getting saved. Now is the day of salvation. Folks are getting saved. And behold, here's our hope.
Yes.
There are last which shall be first. Now this is a little different than the vineyard. We talked about the vineyard and they went out in the last hour. He's saying here, these Jews, see the Jews, people thought they was getting saved just because they were Jews. They said, because we are Jews, we get saved. There's a saying in the Jewish culture that Abraham sat outside the gates of hell and wouldn't let a Jew go in. They were the first to hear it. Their job was to go out and tell the whole dying world about this Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
And they refused to do it.
That's right.
They kept it to themselves, and Jesus took the word of God to the Gentile nation.
That's
and
right.
The Gentiles now are going to be first. This is what Jesus said. This is just ripping at the Jewish heart. And it says, and there are last which shall be first. That's us, folks.
That's right.
And there shall be first which shall be last. There's no reason for us to miss out on this. There's no reason at all for us to miss out on this. On this great salvation.
Yes.
That great deliverance, that being rescued. Who in their right mind will be caught in a burning building? And this is a picture of a sinner. Caught in a burning building. And the fire trucks come. And the ladder come. They got the net on the bottom. And they're telling you to jump. And you sitting in there with your iPad. And you just texting away. And the building is just ready to collapse. And you say, don't worry, I'm all right. Nobody in their right mind. Nobody in their right mind. Today. Today.